Blog Talk Radio.
Psalm 139. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee, when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
Praise the Lord, brothers. Deacon Thomas Fall, and you are listening to Issues Christian Man's Talk. We'd like to welcome you to another episode, and I pray that something was said today that will bless you and continue to encourage you in your faith walk. You can call in at 646-668-2636. Or you go online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, and we encourage you to join us and be part of the conversation. Today we're going to be talking about how do we show we love God. We all know, we've heard it before, that God is love and God loves us. But now, how do we show that we love God? And I think that's a challenge for every man, every believer, man, woman, and child. But today we're talking about you, brothers. How are you living a life and showing that you love God? We understand that God loves us, the grace, the mercy, the favor, that even when we do mess up, when we make mistakes, even when we sin, if we come to him in repentance, forgiveness, he will forgive us. But in that, in our everyday walk, in the life we're living, are we showing that we love God, and what does it look like? So that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about little things. As always, I encourage you to get you can always go back and listen to the show on the archive. But as you're listening, we're going to give the scriptures, there's a base, and some of the things we're going to say, you write down, that will continue to encourage you in your growth. Because here in 2024, and I said it in previous episodes, our focus for 2024 is going to be some milk to meat, to grow in the things of God, to grow in the grace and the knowledge of God. And we have to move from where we are. Just right now, we're in February, we're in the second month of the new year, new calendar year. But look at where you are today in your spiritual life, in your walk, in your ministry, in your marriage, in your connection with others, in your participation in the church. All these areas, are you going to, you know, where are you going to grow to? How are you pursuing your spiritual growth? How are you pursuing the things of God and to grow closer to him, to live a more obedient life to him than you are now to this time next year? So, and again, in 2024, we're looking to move from milk to meat. And I say that, and I say that to all the brothers that are listening, be elder, deacon, layperson, pastor, whoever you are as a man of God, wherever you are today, this is your milk stage. So where are you growing to? Because once we get in our minds, in our prideful, sinful mind, that we have achieved all that God has and all that God can do in us, we're failed. Okay? I say as plain as I can say it. Because if we aren't looking to grow spiritually, to be in a place where God can use us more, we can be more obedient in certain areas, we could be more faithful, be more consistent in the things of God, if we think we achieved it, there's a problem. We have to really examine ourselves. And even Paul, and all that he did, he still was pursuing to be obedient and live a life that was pleasing to him. Because we all are going to stand, no matter who we are, no matter what our title, our position, we're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and be judged. And we want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Amen. So we're going to dive in here today. Again, how do we show that we love God? And I got my brother to join me today to help in the conversation and bring some insight, some wisdom from his heart, Elder Cavell Whitehead. Elder Cavell Whitehead, can you hear me, sir?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Good morning. How you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful, brother. How you are? How are you?
I'm absolutely wonderful. Thank you.
Amen. Well, first of all, let me thank you for taking time out to schedule. I appreciate you joining me and being part of the conversation today. And we're going to see what God's going to do. If you would, brother, open us up in prayer.
Father, we do thank you right now for another opportunity, God, to come before you, God, and hear what you have to say to us and allow us to speak as your oracles, God, that others might hear and grow through your word for such a time as this. Bless this time. Bless your manservant and his faithfulness, Father, for doing this show and for facilitating the vision that you've given him, Lord God, to reach men all over the world, Father, for such a time as this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, brother. Well, we're going to jump right in, bro, because, you know, there's a lot going on, and there's a lot going on. But, again, you know, I say this. When we're talking about how do we show our love for God, a lot of things have come to my mind. But I'm going to come to you and let you kick off the conversation, and then we're going to go from there. So, bro, when I say to you, how do we apply what we know and who we are in Christ, and how do we show that we love God? What do you say, sir?
So this was a very good subject to talk about when you first brought it to me. As I've been praying throughout the week and having a conversation with the Holy Spirit about this, one of the first things that came to my mind was John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So in that, I believe that we have to show love the same way that Christ showed love to us then and still shows love to us now. Give of ourselves. To give our lives back to him in true obedience to what he wants to get done in and through us here on the earth. That's what I believe. I believe that we show the love of God by exemplifying who he is in us. We were created in his image and in his likeness, according to Genesis. And so we have to model the same principles. We have to give of ourselves, not just back to him, but we have to give of ourselves to others as well in the same way. 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. But in him first love in us, it enables us to be able to show love to others.
Amen, amen, amen. And I think that's the thing we have to be able to. When we talk about that love, and like you said, I think we have to focus on, especially as men, as husbands and fathers and sons, we have to focus on the sacrificial part of what love means. Because, you know, we have, again, you know, we hear love and we hear, but then let me say it like this. Because God so loved the world and what he has done for us through his son, Jesus Christ. Now, how should we be living that we show that we love and appreciate what he's done for us? Because that's the thing that we all have to look at. Because I know a lot of people in church, been in church for years, even folk, even when people evangelize, they tell folk that God loves them, God loves you, God died for you. But now, as believers, as men of God, what should our lives look like? In application, that's what I want to get to. In application, what should that look like in a practical sense, in a physical sense, that we live in lives, and all we live in lives, that show that we love God? And what does that look like? I'm going to go real quick to scripture. I'm going to go to Matthew 22 and 37. In the word of God, it says, let me go to it real quick. I got an old paper Bible here, so I ain't got my digital with me. Amen. But Matthew 22 and 37, and it says, and he said to them, well, let me go back to 36. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, well, again, you know, they were always questioning Jesus, trying to trap him in what he was teaching. But let's go to 36. And it says, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to them, ye shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. And this is the great first commandment. Amen? So when we say love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind, the question all of us have to ask ourselves, what does that mean? What does that mean? What is the understanding we have for that, and what does that look like? Because, again, as men, as husbands, as fathers, as sons, people are watching us. People want to see us live out a life and live a character that is we showing that we love God. And I think we have to be mindful and be attentive to how we speak, how we live, choices we make, how we deal with the ups and downs of life, how we deal with tragedy, how we deal with the circumstances of life. Because sin of man or non-believer, righteous, unrighteous, this life will throw things at us that we have in common and will continue to be stressful. But I think if we can show that we love God through the trials and tests, we are being an example to the world and to encourage other brothers. What do you say, sir?
I say that true. Once again, our obedience unto God shows our love for God, our steadfastness in the things that God has created and called us to do in the earth shows just how much we love God. And when we can face life's vicissitudes and everything in the grace of God and not waver in what the word says, I believe that shows the love of God to the world and those in whom we come in contact with. Once again, I have to continue to say, it's about our obedience. It's about our obedience, our unwavering faith in Christ, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like.
And I hear what you're saying, because I think that's the other thing we have to look at as men of God, our faithfulness and our consistency, even through that obedience, you know, to me, it's a lot. Because we struggle with a lot of things, especially if we come from a background where we were in the world hard, and we was in the world, and we enjoyed being in the world. But then, and then when we come out, when our eyes are open, when our hearts are open, and it is in the gospel, we receive the gospel, we understand the gospel, and then we believe the gospel. Now, to live that life of that process of growing in our faith, I think when you say obedience, that obedience is a consistent thing, that our faithfulness will grow. And I think that's where we all have to examine, continue to look at ourselves and examine where we are in this faith walk and where we are in the challenges that come at us. Because, obedience can be hard. It's an easy word to pronounce. But to live that thing, to live obedient to what the word is saying, I think that's hard. I mean, I think that's just a struggle. That's that real struggle between our flesh and between the spirit. And especially for us as men of God, when we are believers and knowing the word, and then to work out that word, to learn to sacrifice, to learn to submit. Because, again, when you say obedience, that obedience, The underlying word to obedience is submission. And as men,
amen.
Some of us struggle with submission. What do you say to that, sir?
Amen. I believe every man struggles with submission because we have to realize and understand that a lot of times coming from a life of not knowing Christ, and a life of disobedience and just living life as a free fall and being able to do and wanting to do the things that we want to do when we want to do it, to the knowledge of Christ and come under the umbrella of Christ, that requires surrender and submission all day, every day. And we have to always keep in mind that no matter how high we go in Christ, the battle of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life still creeps up in every man's life. And I'm reminded of the story back in Genesis when God told Abraham to go and kill his promised son, Isaac. And I remember when they got up, the story says that the men asked him, where was he going? And he said, me and the lad are going to worship, but we shall return. So when Abraham said, we shall return, Abraham had an inner knowing from the Holy Spirit at that time that God was going to provide the sacrifice that he needed. But he just needed to be obedient in that moment to what God was telling him to do. He just needed to surrender and submit to what God needed him to do at that moment, at that time. And that's where it is with us. We have to continually be obedient to what we hear God say in that moment and at that time. And we are well able to do that if we practice the presence of the Lord. If we, John 10:10 says, my sheep know my voice and they follow me, and not another will they follow. So it's a minute by minute, hour by hour surrender and submission. And it's a battle of the flesh and the spirit. And so I truly believe that, as you say, it's a hard thing to do, but it's possible. It's a hard thing to do, but it's possible. According to Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So as long as I'm calling on the Holy Spirit for strength, I can stay in a place of surrender and submission.
Amen, amen. You know, and you're right, and I agree. Amen. You're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and we're here every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. and continue to move forward in this year, 2024. And we're looking to move from milk to meat, to grow in the grace and knowledge of God. So the question we're talking about today is, do you love God, and how do you show that you love God in your life today? And some of this is we look at how we examine ourselves and those around us. Are we reflecting the love of God that people see us and they see that who we are in Christ? And like the brother was saying, it's every day, every moment, in every area of our life. It's just not, you know, something I always say here. It's just not when we're around the saints. Well, it is about when we are around the saints, but not on Sundays. What are we doing in ministry? How are we serving others? How are we reaching others? How are we supporting and encouraging others? You know, and for men, and for us as brothers, are we holding each other accountable in our lives? Who's in your circle of influence? Who is praying with you and praying? And this is what the things that we need to have in our life that will encourage us to get to that growth. Because the growth, we don't grow. Let me say it like this. The only thing that grows in the dark, in the closet, are mushrooms and fungus. Amen?
Amen.
So if we are Christ and we abide in him and he is the vine, we grow in the light and we grow being connected one to another. So I think that's very important, brothers. No matter where you are in your life, ask yourself. You know, we have friends. We all have friends, but do we have brothers in Christ? Do we have brothers we trust? Do we have brothers that we're transparent with? Who is that person? Who are these men? And let me say this: is there more than one? Because, you know, just because it's two, you know, two is fine, but we're challenged more in the group. Okay, Jesus had 12. And within the 12, he had his inner circle. And even Paul, he had Barnabas, he had Silas, he had, if you look at Book of Acts, Paul had a lot of people around him that he influenced, and a lot of people that influenced him. Amen? So where are we at? Where are we at in this 21st century? God is requiring the same thing of us that he required of them. That he required of the church. Amen? So where are you, brothers? We have to hear Issues Christian Men's Talk. We always talk about examining yourself to know where you are in this walk. Because if you don't know where you are, you can't know where you're going. And what are the things,
Amen.
And how are you pursuing God to understand what God wants from you? Amen? Amen. So
Amen.
I'm going to go to John chapter 14. And I'm going to come back to you, brother, right here after this. John chapter 14. I'm looking at verse number 15. Because, again, we're talking about how do we show that we love God. So John chapter 14, verse 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. And then I want to go to John 14 and go to 23 real quick. I'm just going to hit a couple verses here to give us a launching pad of what we're talking about. Because these are the things that Jesus told, that Jesus spoke into the lives of his disciples. And for us to have for the foundation of who we are now in this faith walk. So it's John chapter 14, verse 23. Jesus answered them, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And he will come to him and Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. Amen?
So, Amen.
Again, as men of God, are we living in obedience and keeping the commandments of Jesus of Christ? You know, let me say it like this. When I first got saved, everybody talked about we're not under the law, we're under grace. But even in that, this is why every man should be reading the word of God for himself, because God has given us instructions in the Gospels and in Paul and Peter and all the other, and the other writers of the New Testament were confirming or how we should live in the as the body of Christ in the New Testament. These things are the things I see. The difference is here. We are living obedient to Christ because of who we are, not to be who we are, if that makes sense. We're not saved. We're obedient because we are saved. We're not being obedient to be saved. I want to be clear about that. But when Jesus says it, if you love me, keep my commandments. So we show our love to God by living obedient lives to Christ, the Holy Spirit, and to his word. What do you say, brother?
I agree 100%, especially about us not being under the law, but under the grace. But even under the grace, Paul said this in Romans chapter 6, starting here at verse 1. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? Shall we continue in disobedience? Okay? Because disobedience is sin unto God. So shall we continue in sin? Grace may abound. Verse 2, he says, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin, we are to die to our disobedience? He says, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? He says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? So if we were baptized into his death, that means our disobedience dies instantly. To be obedient unto the word of God, the voice of God. Amen?
Amen. Amen. And brothers, and let me say, and you know, and Elder Cavelli, I know you know, and also we have to remember the Holy Spirit living within us. There has to be times in our lives when we stop and we listen and we hear the Spirit talking to us, and the Spirit giving us direction. You know, it talks about how the Holy Spirit is now guiding and directing our conscience. It's moving upon our hearts. And because this is not a thing, you know, it's not a thing that it's not that we are, again, it's about submission. But now it is about walking this thing out. We know by in our conscience, in our character, because, again, our character will change. How we see the world will change when we come to Christ and start to read and study and then look to apply the word of God to how we see the rest of the world is where the transformation and the conversion came. But the conversion of our hearts, still an act of God and the Holy Spirit. Because I think that we forget, we take for granted salvation sometimes because we forget the miracle it is to bring the move from an enemy of God to a son of God. That is a work of God. That's a supernatural work. But you know, we try to take that. Sometimes I think we take that for granted, you know, and we have to step back and understand that our salvation is a lot. For us to get to a place where we know, where we acknowledge God, we believe God and trust God. What do you say, brother, about how important it is for us to believe and to trust?
It's important for us to believe and trust the word of God. And I think it's important that the churches get back to the basics, teaching about what salvation really is, because a lot of times people come into the saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they get stuck at the justification, which is Christ dying for our sins, past, present, and future. And we don't move to the place of sanctification, and we definitely don't move in and through the place of sanctification, which is becoming less like self and more like Christ on a daily basis, dying to self and rising in Christ. I believe that we have to get back to that place of what true salvation encompasses. And I believe that it'll help a lot of people, especially men, to grow in their faith and their obedience unto God.
Amen. You're right, bro. You agreed. And that's what we call, hey, bro. This is the Christian Minute Talk. I'm thinking Thomas Farr. Again, you're listening. I'm here, and we're discussing how do we show that we love God. I'm here with my brother, Elder Pavel Whitehead, and we're discussing that. And I just wanted to put a commercial break in here right here. When you hear this, well, if you receive this link on your phone or if you're listening online on our Facebook page, This is Christian Men's Talk, or you receive the text on your phone, I just wanted to remind you, brothers, we have our first gathering of men at Jesus Lives Ministry, Men's Ministry, on February 17th at 10 a.m. I would like to invite you to join us and come on out and join us. We're in Glen Burnie. If you text me or if you reach out, I can send you the flyer. We're located in Glen Burnie on Crane Highway. We're going to be going, we're going to start at 10 a.m. and we're going to be talking about faithfulness. We're going to be talking about being a faithful man of God and how do we bring consistency into our lives. And I think that's what we all have to, again, we have to examine where we are, who we are, and then how do we want to grow? Because I say, again, 2024, we want to talk about growing from milk to meat. Amen? From milk to meat. So I just want to encourage you, brothers, join us. Come on out. It's February the 17th at 10 a.m. In Glen Burnie, Maryland. You can text me, give me a call. I get you the address and get you the information. Or if you go on our Facebook page, you'll be able to see it there. It's a time of fellowship. It's 10 a.m. And again, the theme is going to be building faithful men. Building faithful men. Amen. I just want to do that. Throw that commercial break in there. Amen. So we're going to continue the conversation. I want to go real quick. I got a couple of scriptures here. Brothers, get a paper, get a piece of paper. I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures, and then we're going to come back around. But I just want to lay this foundation. I want to always leave you with a word that you can take into deep study, into your own devotional time, to try and work through the scripture and work through the understanding of what we talked about tonight. Amen? First John chapter 5, verse number 3. Then I'm going to give you 2 John, chapter 1, verse number 6. Then I'm going to give you Psalms 40 and verse 8. The first one I gave this morning of Matthew 22, 37 to 38. And one more I want to give you. I'm going to give you 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. Amen? Amen. So I just want to give those foundational scriptures for you after the show is over and after you finish listening. So go search your word of God. Search out what God has called us to be and how we ought to live. To be that man of God that we're living, a life that shows that we love God. We know that God loves us for all that he has done. God loves us so much, he provided oxygen that we could breathe. See, these are the simple things, the things we take for granted. That God loves us so much that we have oxygen to breathe. That we can breathe air on this earth. He created this whole planet. The brother mentioned in Genesis. Once he decided to make man in his own image and likeness, before that, he prepared a place for man to live. Now, again, I say we're in the 21st century. We take all this for granted. But just to have the oxygen to breathe, that he created our bodies needing oxygen to sustain us, and he's provided us. So in all that we think and say and we do, even the unbeliever, you can't get around that. You can't get around that. That God created created the environment for his creation, because we are his creation. And then after the fall, after the sin, he started the process to reconcile us back to Eden. And again, this is why, brothers, you have to read all of Scripture for what Scripture says and what Scripture is teaching for you to understand. Because, you know, even in evangelism, we can't start with, evangelism we could start evangelism, we should start in Genesis. That was Jesus on the cross. Evangelism is they have to, everyone, every man, woman, and child, an unbeliever has to know that they are enemies of God because of the sin nature. And the sin, and then we got to remember what sin, sometimes sin, the sin nature is we're born into sin. That we're not, we're sinners because we were born into sin, not by the things we do every day. The things we do every day are the things we used to do all the time, that the life we lived was because we were sinners. Those are the things we did because of who we were and what we believed. But then when we change our belief system, we've changed our foundation to the Word of God and who God is, and then through the Holy Spirit and to believing and trust. Now we're called to live a different way because we love him for what he's done. And that's what this is all about, brothers. We all have to be able to, each of us is going to stand before him. So how and what are you going to stand before him with? A bunch of baggage, a bunch of things, or are you going to stand before him with your pure love and how you lived your life and what you did with what God has gave, what God has given us? So this, that's why it's important that we examine ourselves. Amen. Let me read 2 John, and I'm coming to you, Brother Elder. 2 John chapter number, where am I? 2 John chapter number 1. I'm going to read verse number 6. And this is the love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it. This is the command from the beginning. This is the love, how we should walk, how we should live. And this is about, you know, living in a manner that pleases God. That's what, that's to me, that encapsulates the whole thing. Are we living, are we each individual living in a manner that pleases him? And I mean, and I don't mean, brothers, let me say this, Brother Cavell, because you know this too, but I'm going to come to you right now. That's not the 2 hours on Sunday. And for Bible study, if you go to Bible study, if you can make it to Bible study, it's living a life and a character that is pleasing to God. What do you say, brother?
Indeed, that is true. Just as you read back in Matthew chapter 22 and 37, that we ought to love the Lord our God with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our might. But then he drops down in verse 38, and he talks about the second commandment being to love thy neighbor as thyself. And when I think about how do we show that we love God, it goes really deep in that we also have to entreat others as God entreats them. You know, as he says, we have to love our neighbor as ourselves. And that love, man, that love is a deep subject, D. It's really deep on so many different levels, you know. When I think about even what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you know, and he's talking about love in the 13th chapter of love, in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and he talks about how love suffers long. He talks about how love is kind. He talks about how love does not envy. He talks about how love is not puffed up. You know, he talks about, oh, man, it's just so deep, man. Talks about how love does not behave unruly, you know. And so when we think about this love, man, and how we show God that we love him, it all has to play out in our obedience, our character. Yeah, it has to play out in our obedience, in our character, and our integrity.
Amen. Amen. And that's what it is. And it's so much, man, brothers. I pray that today you would step back and examine yourselves again. You know, where are you going to grow in this area when we're talking about love? Because like my brother said, the love we have for God should be reflected in how we treat each other. Love thy neighbor. You know, the question is, who's our neighbor? And because even in scripture, you know, they challenge Jesus on that. And Jesus said, every person is your neighbor. Again, in the body of Christ, you're part of a local congregation. Everybody in that building is your neighbor. Everybody, your neighbor, next door neighbor. All of mankind is our neighbor. So how we treat the believer and the unbeliever, because the scripture tells us we're to love our enemies. We're to love our brothers.
Amen.
As one and another.
Amen.
We are to hold each other accountable in the church. And you talked about character. You know my character. How are you known? What do people, because your character is how people think of you. We talk about sometimes we get out there and we think we don't care what people think about us, but that's not what God says who we are to be as men. We are concerned on what people think about us. We are to live our life because we can't not care what people think about us and then say we are men of God and say that we love Christ and that we are his ministers. We are his servant. We are his brother because we are to show salt and light to the world. And then when I come back, and when we come back to the church, man, I say this all the time. I say it a lot. I even tell my brothers, you know, are we connected one to another? In your local congregation, I don't care if your congregation is 1,000, 200, 50, or 10. Even within bigger churches, there should be people that you are connected to. Because, you know, I used to say all the time back, even Facebook now, or what was the other thing that came out? So all these social media platforms, just because you have a bunch of followers, you don't know a bunch of people. If honest be told, most of us, we got 25 people we know our whole life. And then in that group, there's only a few that we see every day. We see our family. We see, you know, even family. We don't, you know. These are the people we deal with, but on an everyday basis. But we as Christians, as the man of God, we should have brothers that we are connected to, that who can look at our character, who can hold us accountable to our integrity, who can hold us accountable to the character of God, and then that can challenge and encourage us. Because, again, we can't walk this walk alone. We shouldn't be. You should not hold it. Brother Cavell, I'm going to come to you because I don't want to get off into a whole monologue, but it's important that we have men around us who's going to encourage us. And that love, and that's what love looks like, to encourage someone else or to have people around who encourage you, who are loving you. Because when we're talking about love, we're talking about sacrificially caring for someone else. As for, again, we look what God has done, because God didn't have to, but because he loved mankind, he created this. He made a way to reconcile us back. What do you say, sir?
He has made a way to reconcile us back. I agree 100% with that statement. But, you know, I have to be honest with you, Deacon Farr. A lot of men from the pulpit to the pew today do not show the love of Christ to other men or to other people, period. That's just the reality of it. And that's what I feel makes it so hard for men to be vulnerable with other men. Just, you know, you and I have been in fellowship and I'm going to say friendship for about 13 years, maybe 12 or 13 years since I met you. And I bless the Lord for you because you have always shown the love of God to me and so many other men. Even in times of my foolishness, you know, I've always been able to talk to you. You've never, judge me in any kind of way. You've always given me the word of God. You've always said to me, I'm here for you, brother, whatever you're going through, you know. And I appreciate that, you know. And I'll even say it right now. You are the only brother that I feel I can truly trust to be vulnerable with. And, you know, yeah. And in my mind, you know, that's really a bad thing. You know, that's really a bad thing. Because it's not, I don't believe a lot of brothers want to be in the predicament or the shape that they're in, but they just don't have nobody that they can really trust pertaining to a man without trying to use them in some kind of way or use what they are going through or share with them for ulterior motive is what I really believe and feel in my heart.
Amen. And, you know, I appreciate that, brother. But, you know, I say this. That's what got me through. You know, there was a brother who stood by me. And I, those who know my testimony, it was, you know, we only can give what we've been given and what's inside of us. And that's the whole point of when we talk about men's fellowship, we're talking about getting our lives and living a life obedient. And then now, this is why we call to one another, to encourage the body of Christ. And that's, and you're exactly right, brother. That's what I say about men's ministry is important, because we have men. We have men in the church. There's two types of, well, there's three types of brothers in the church. There's the brothers who are stable, who are on a firm foundation, who are called now to disciple others. That's the piece that's really missing when we talk about the body of Christ. We're all going to grow and mature into a level of maturity. But now what are we doing to help others to mature and to grow? Who are we discipling? Who are we mentoring? And what you were saying, too, about those relationships, because men go through a lot. I've been in men's ministries. I've been in men's groups. And when you stop and listen, once the atmosphere and environment is set, you hear that men are going through a lot of things, and then a lot of things that we're going through is the same thing. We have to get past the facade. We have to get past the superficial, and we have to get to the real transparency, and then let God use the Holy Spirit, His Word, and our companionship to bring men out, to really get men to a place where they can live out a life. Because we can talk about being a husband, a godly husband. We can throw the scriptures at folk. But how do they need help with it. They need someone to come alongside. I remember I used this, you know, it's back when you learned how to drive. You learned how to ride a bike. There was training wheels. All these things we do to learn. Because no one just gets a license. You can't just walk out and go into motor vehicle and say, I want a driver's license, and then say, I got a driver's license, now I just want the CDL. You have to be trained. You have to go out there and be taught and mentored by someone. And it's the same thing with our faith. God is going to, you know, God, the Holy Spirit's going to draw men to himself, but now are they being mentored on how to apply the word to their lives? We sit back sometimes and we think the Holy Spirit is going to do some mystical, magical. And that's not how God works. If we go to Scripture, the apostles, Paul, Peter, Barnabas, these men, they traveled together. They ministered together. You know, it's so much there on what we should be doing as a church. And then even what Paul wrote to the churches. You got to remember, I said this before, you know, we start to read the letters Paul wrote. He wrote to correct those letters he wrote to the churches, Ephesians, Galatians, Colossians, and the Corinthians. He had to write them two times because of the foolish things they were doing, to correct them and encourage them. So in our lives, who is correcting and encouraging us, and who are we correcting and encouraging? That's what the church is about. This is why my passion for men's ministry, because a brother did that for me. A brother, again, my testimony is a brother came and got me at 3 o'clock in the morning out of a place, and And me and that brother connected today, until today. Like, you know, I mean, you say we've been there. I've known this brother since the 90s because of that time he took to speak into my life. And then I see that as what, and then again, as I was in the church, different ministries doing different things, watching how men come, go, and fall away. Married men, single men. You know, men on divorced men, second marriages, because they're not being loved. Let's go back. How do we show we love God? How we love one another. And for men, it's where I'm not gonna say it's easy, because you know it wasn't easy. But as men, we need to be loved and encouraged by other men in the things of God to help them be rooted and grounded to get past the superficial of the gospel, the superficial of the church, that it looks righteous on the inside, but inside they're dead because of so much stuff. They don't think that's what God is asking them to deal with, or they don't know how to use the word, use the spirit to set new habits in their life of prayer and study and in fellowship with the saints, cutting off other brothers, cutting off other people in their lives, family, friends, that now that God can get in and that God can use them. Because when it comes to God, it's about humility, it's about gratitude, it's about sacrifice, and it's about servitude. And we need to encourage the brothers in those areas to help them get over the hump. You know, and I'm sorry, I'm doing it again. I'm looking at my clock. But I just want to, what you said, that's what, you know, this is what we have to be able to start to do for men, is to be able to reach them, but we have to reach them in transparency and honesty and not the things that, like you said, that we've seen done before, which really, you know, chase men away or draw women in. I'm going to say it like that. Now, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. You got to figure out what that means. Amen.
Amen.
This has been Issues Christian Men Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farnhill, Brother Elder Pavel Whitehead, and we've been talking about, again, how do we show the love of God. And Brother, before you, give me a wrap up, but I want to appreciate you, man. And as always, you got an open invitation to join me and let me know how your schedule works out, and we can continue this conversation on this and other topics. And again, for the brothers that are listening, pastors, elders, deacons, If you want to come on, share your insights and wisdom, speak into it. Well, I say that, but any brother who wants to come on, ask a question, have a discussion, seek encouragement, seek the understanding, or to be able to speak to encourage other men. Because understand that the word of God, as a church, we can encourage one another. Because I say this again, because we talk about titles and pastors, deacons and elders. But all that means is that God has put us in a place in our life where we have a responsibility to serve
Amen.
People.
Amen.
It's still Christ, but we are. That's a whole other show we could talk about. But with
Amen.
The title of deacon, of elder, and pastor is to serve the flock, is to bring
Amen.
People to a level of growth and grow in the grace and the knowledge of God. It's not to be in a place where they're serving us. Yeah, I'm going to leave it right there. Because I've been going another 2 hours on that one.
Amen.
I don't want to do that. But that's what it is. Because I'll say this before I go. But I'm going to give you the last closing comments and even close out in prayer. But we all have to examine ourselves. Are we serving? Are we humble? Are we serving? Are we sacrificed? Because love is sacrifice, and love is also gratitude. To all that we do for God because what God has done for us. We serve Christ because what Christ has done. Christ shed his blood and died. We're coming up on Easter. We just passed Christmas. Christmas, I was talking about this before. We got into a conversation. You know, with Christmas, and I'm going to say this, and I'm coming to you, brother, because it just came to my heart. We got to remember Christmas is. When that season Christmas comes, why we're celebrating because the world was so bad that Christ had to send a baby to die because the world was in such a terrible, terrible sinful place. So God decided to send his son in the form of a child, that man would die to reconcile the world back to him. So what we celebrate a lot of happiness in Christmas, but Christmas really, it was so bad. God had to send his son to reconcile people back. Otherwise, we were under a sentence. We was under a sentence of death and the wrath of God. But because he loved us, he sent a baby to be the man that would die to reconcile us back. So next Christmas, think about that. That baby came to die because the world was so bad. The culture, the people, everything was so bad and so evil that God had to send a baby to die. Bro, again, I appreciate you. I'm giving you as a closing comment, and if you would, close out in prayer, brother.
Hey, man, I just want to leave us with this. The church and the world says and believes that a man is only supposed to be strong. But I want to say that a man is supposed to be strong, but a man is also to be loved in order that he might continue to be strong in his love toward God and others. Father, we thank you for this time today. You was glorified, and I pray that those that heard it and those that will hear it will be edified. Now, Lord God, I thank you that there will be no retaliation against either of us for our obedience unto you in this time. Use this message, Lord God, to encourage your people and to draw your people in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, brother. God bless.
They got with on the Lord, and I say, what? Hold on a little while longer. Here's what you got.